Smallbiz America.
The Brain.
Our guest on this segment of the Smallbiz Brain created a company that helps sales organizations and small business owners get increased production out of their salespeople and solopreneurs and individual salespeople to be more successful at selling. Craig James founded Sales Solutions to help folks do all these things. Craig has been published and quoted in publications such as Business Week, Sales and Marketing Management, Selling Power, and the New York Enterprise Report. He's taught at New York University's School of Continuing and Professional Studies and has lectured at Columbia, their School of Continuing Education as well. Joining us on the line from the Boston area is Craig James. Craig, welcome to the Small Biz Brain.
David, great to be here.
So when you set out to create Sales Solutions, what did you want to do differently in terms of how you approach helping your clients with sales?
Sure, David, great question. When I started the business, and as you can imagine, sales training and coaching is a very, very fragmented business. Anybody can hang out a shingle and call themselves a sales trainer. And I thought to myself, as any good small business owner ought to, you know, where is there an unmet need and where is there a niche that I can fill that isn't being filled presently? And I staked out a niche in the small business and entrepreneur field because, as you well know, most folks who start a business do so because they're experts in their field and their craft, but have never had any formal sales training. And that tends to be the Achilles heel in many cases for a lot of small business owners. And so that's where I saw an opportunity, and that's where I started my business.
Do you have a typical kind of client, Craig, that can benefit from your program, or does it pretty much run the gamut?
It does run the gamut, but the companies and individuals who tend to be, who I've tend to work with in the past, continue to work with, are folks who have had some exposure to selling, but have never had any formal sales training. They tend to be more entrepreneurial if they're business owners. I do also work with salespeople who are members of sales teams. But as far as the small business owners, they really span the gamut. I've had insurance brokers. I've had folks who run video publishing businesses. I had one company that sold eye care equipment, so anything that you might need for glasses short of frames and lenses. So it really has spanned a wide variety of industries and businesses. I tend to not have done much manufacturing simply because manufacturing has not been exactly a thriving sector these days.
Where do you think most business owners or sales professionals need the most help and assistance? I mean, what issues are you typically working to solve with them?
Yeah, good question, David. The biggest problem that I've seen with both business owners and salespeople is they have a tendency to launch into a product pitch, a features dump, if you will, right out of the gate. So they'll call up a prospect, or we'll sit down in a meeting, and right away they start talking about how wonderful their product is. And that's typically not terribly a surprise with entrepreneurs, because if they are the founder of the company, they're very excited about their product or service and want to talk about it. And what I try to, what I coach my disciples, if you will, is you really need to listen first before you speak. You need to understand the pain, the problems, the issues, and the goals of the person you're meeting with in order to make sure, first of all, that you do have a solution, and second of all, how to best craft your solution to meet their needs.
Almost like a reverse engineering process.
Indeed.
I want to ask you, just in the broadest sense, and then we can drill down a little bit deeper to your techniques, how does Sales Solutions work, and what are the various programs you offer to clients to help them?
Sure. We have a couple of ways that we operate, one of which, and you're all welcome to go to my website and take a look, at a number of standard programs that we have that we run typically for sales teams of anywhere from 4 to 10 people, starting with something we call the Fundamentals of Professional Selling, all the way up through specific topics such as prospecting, overcoming cold call reluctance, which is a common malady among many salespeople.
Yeah.
Selling against competition, doing more effective presentations, time management. So there are programs that we offer that have very specific objectives and outcomes. On the other hand, we recognize that some companies and some individuals don't want a canned program, but want something more tailored. And we have oftentimes put together a program that is customized to the needs of the business owner and his or her organization.
We're visiting with Craig James. He's the founder of Sales Solutions, that website www.sales-solutions.biz for more information. Let's drill down to a couple of the offerings you have, and you can pick one that you like and maybe elaborate a little bit on what that process might look like. That might be helpful.
Sure. One of the ones that tends to be very popular is one we run called Dealing with Sales Resistance. As anybody who's ever been in sales knows, there is no such thing as a slam dunk. In every sales engagement that we're involved in, there is going to be some kind of sales resistance, be it what we call objections to what you're proposing, skepticism that you can deliver the goods that you say you can, or out and out indifference. Hey, you know, we're not interested. I'm too busy. The kind of things that we typically hear when we call a prospect cold. And so, in that particular program, which, like all my programs, are very hands-on and very interactive, we pretty much break it up into two components. And the first component is going over some concept and theory. So when we talk about sales resistance, for example, we drill down to the different types of sales resistance. We get into some of the reasons why prospective customers put up resistance and how then we can deal with it. So the mind frame of a salesperson going into an engagement and knowing that you're going to get certain objections and pushback and being prepared to deal with those. We then break up into small groups and we do some role plays. So we take what we've learned in the first half in terms of the theory and concept and actually put it into practice. And I like to use to have each of the salespeople come to the program with actual engagements that they're working on, actual deals that they're working on, so that the material is real to them. It's not something made up or canned.
Yeah.
That accomplishes two things. One, it lets them work with real live situations, and they can actually go back and deal with those situations and hopefully close a piece of business. But it also gets them more engaged and keeps them more focused. And that's the best way I've learned to keep salespeople from checking their BlackBerries every 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. There's no shortage of distractions given the technology we're dealing with now. That's for sure. What are you observing about the current selling environment? I mean, obviously, we're sitting in February of 2009, one of the most difficult environments, I would imagine, for many sales professionals or small business owners. How do you approach helping them manage this transitional period?
Yeah, one of the things that I teach to all my students, and it's even more critical nowadays, is to really, really be that consultative salespeople that buyers nowadays really need to have, because buyers are sitting between a rock and a hard place. They need to have products and services that are being sold, and yet they're constrained by budgets, they're constrained by cash flow, and they're just uncertain about where the economy is going. So it's even more important to sit down with these potential customers and almost put a psychologist hat on and try to understand where that prospect is coming from, what the concerns are, and maybe the product that you'd like to sell, which may be a high-ticket item, isn't one that the customer is prepared to buy. So if you set your expectations a bit lower and maybe sell them something that's still useful to them but at a lower price point, giving them an opportunity to walk before they run, this is a way that salespeople can continue to close business in a difficult environment and maybe not at the level they'd like to, but certainly getting the foot in the door and planting the seeds for developing the relationship in the future.
You're dealing with two sides of a psychology equation, aren't you?
Well, you are. You are. And I think most people, and you know, all of us who are in sales are also consumers, and we know what it's like when we're contacted by a salesperson or if we go into a showroom, buy a car or something, and there's a lot of uncertainty. We don't have all the information that we need. We're afraid of making the wrong decision and spending a lot of money on the wrong thing. That gets compounded when you work for a company and you have a boss who will come down quite hard on you if you make a decision that doesn't work out. So we as salespeople really need to be particularly sensitive to that, particularly in these difficult times where the people we're talking to are under more scrutiny than ever to come up with the right decisions.
I know you created a 2007 top sales article about creating urgency in the sales process. Why do you think the article resonated so much with readers? Tell us a little bit about what that was talking about.
Well, and part of the reason why I chose to write that article is it has been such a thorn in my own side throughout my selling career. Every one of us in sales and all of us who are business owners have come across situations where we sit down with a prospect, make what we feel is a fabulous presentation, and then nothing happens for weeks and months. And we scratch our head and wonder why. And again, a lot of it comes back to the psychology. We think we're doing a great job, but the buyer always has concerns and worries and doubts about making the commitment. And so I wrote this article because I have discovered or developed over the years some techniques and strategies for either preempting the delay that we always see or dealing with it when it occurs. And I think that's why it's resonated, because every one of us runs into it, and we haven't, most of us, really come up with a good way of dealing with it.
Craig, tell us what you're working on now. You're continuing to write, a little bit of coaching. You know, give us kind of a tour of Craig James right now, sitting in February of 09.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of writing, as you can see. I used to live in New York, so I was a frequent writer, contributed to the New York Enterprise Report, as you noted in your introduction, and I actually have another article coming out that will appear in the March issue, which is all about getting back to sales fundamentals, prospecting, qualifying, closing, those kinds of things. So keep an eye out for that one. But I am doing a lot of one-on-one coaching. I'm getting more into web-based training, again, with budgets being constrained nowadays. I'm finding that places that used to fly me out are pulling in their budgets. And so thanks to the wonderful technology we have right now, effective training can be done via the web, e-learning we call it. And you can still, if you're talented enough at the technology and working with people who are remote, you can still have the same kind of interactivity that you have in an in-person engagement. So those are some of the things I'm working on right now.
Has sales changed in 15 years that you've been around this business? Are the fundamentals pretty much the same?
Yeah, David, the fundamentals haven't changed. And those of us who are in the sales training business, we recognize that selling is always selling. It's always going to be about relationships. It's always going to be about meeting customer needs. I think what has changed in the last 15 years is a recognition that buyers have more of leverage or power, if you will, nowadays. They have access to more information. They can do research on your company as well as your competitors. So it isn't simply a matter of showing up, doing a great presentation, and asking for the order. Customers are much more sophisticated. They're much more educated. Many buyers now have college degrees and even MBAs. And so the days of going in and sweet-talking and schmoozing with a prospect in a two-hour lunch, that's not going to cut it anymore. Salespeople really need to have the full set of selling skills, the relationship skills, and those kind of things in order to be successful.
I was going to say and add that relationship capital really carries a premium these days, particularly with the online part of all of this in terms of building relationships and connecting.
Yeah, selling is always going to be buying from one person and selling to another person. It's never going to change.
Great. Well, thanks for your time on the show, Craig. Craig James has been our guest. The website, www.sales-solutions.biz, is the website for information about all the coaching programs that he is offering to sales professionals to help them do a better job at the sales process. Craig, thanks for joining us on the Small Biz Brain.
David, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Small Biz America. The Brain.
This podcast is produced by Small Biz America.
Small Biz.
Small Biz America.